Well, friends, if you brought your Bible with you today, I would encourage you to turn it to the Gospel of Luke. We're reading together chapter 19. We'll be reading verses 1 through 10. And in these words, open our ears that we might hear God's word to us today. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this. They began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, as you have come to, in, and through this place, grant us eyes that we may see you. May we not just see the way that you travel, but may we be invited into the mysterious, surprising gift of relationship with you, that our lives might be renewed and transformed as you've called us to serve others. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, amen. All right, coincidence, providence, I'll let you weigh it out how you want. As the week went on, I realized in sermon preparation, I was owing more and more and more to the Sunday school Zacchaeus song. And I thought, can I work it in last minute and beg the musicians to play it? Do I have you all sing it? And then Cindy. Thank you. Today's a great and grand celebration in the church. We've packed in everything a Presbyterian can pack into a worship service. Wonderful choir, anthems, baptism, and communion. This is a wonderful day. It's also All Saints Day. It's a day in which we recognize with the church that surrounds the world that the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is so vast and so grand that we're united together, even those who have gone before us. And so today, I wanted to read with you, I wanted to reflect with you about one of the Bible's most surprising saints. Because when we look at Zacchaeus, not just from the perspective of that beloved children's Sunday school song, but from Luke's telling of the story, there are some interesting twists. If you only knew the song, what would you know about Zacchaeus? You would know that he was short, right? Luke includes that, but you might have noticed other details, very important details in the Gospel of Luke. We're told that he's a tax collector. Not just a tax collector, he's the chief tax collector, not of a small, rural, out-of-the-way place, of Jericho, a large and important metropolitan area. Luke didn't want us to miss the point. He's not just a tax collector. He's not just a chief tax collector. It has made him wealthy. He has come into a significant amount of power and privilege. And it does not land on us in the way it would have landed on the Christians of the first century. So to make sure we're all on the same page, when Rome came and occupied the territory, they wanted to collect tax. And the best way that they knew to do it was you find a local, someone who knew the business owners, someone who knew the local customs and the politics, someone who you would empower to go collect those tax dollars regardless of what it took. So the Romans were fine if a tax collector would go and collect far more taxes than what Rome actually wanted and kept the net profit for themselves. You can imagine those people were not liked very much. So, here we have Zacchaeus, one of the most hated men in town, someone willing to work with the Romans and to steal from his own people to give to others, someone with great power and privilege who's using it to enrich himself. And I was reaching this week, who makes us that angry? I don't know. Is it the politician who makes decisions on information the public doesn't have that makes themselves rich? Is it the payday loan operators who take money from the poorest people at extravagant interest? Maybe it's the television preachers who enrich themselves off of people who are hoodwinked into giving them money for their own riches. I don't know if we can appreciate how little the crowd would have liked Zacchaeus. He wasn't just we. He had enriched himself against all of the people who he had called his own. So, imagine the joy, the absolute joy of seeing that squat little man running ahead of the crowd. Because he was short, he was also a man of the first century. You never ran. That was a sign of your honor and respect that you would always walk where you were going. So the crowd would have already loved to see Zacchaeus trying to run the 100 meter. And then imagine when he started climbing a tree. You remember the newspaper articles of old where it would say, you know, there was a gathering at so-and-so's house and they had biscuits and crumpets and they talked about this thing. This is the thing that gets put in the newspaper for months. Zacchaeus is making a fool of himself. And so, Luke is playing with this idea of what a saint is. What is a saint, after all? I don't know about you, I think of people like Mother Teresa, someone who dedicates their life to the service of others, who, to their own disregard financially and in status, are willing to give up the stuff of life to invest in things of greater importance. I think we can all agree, today and then, no one thought that Zacchaeus could be a saint. And if we're honest with ourselves, I doubt we think the same for ourselves. What we might miss is what Luke is portraying in Jesus' invitation to Zacchaeus that day. When Jesus invites him to relationship, to a meal, it's not just a sign that Jesus wants to spend a few hours with him. It's not because Jesus wants to have good food at a wealthy man's house. No, this in the ancient world communicates a kind of respect, a connection, even a sign of approval. It has something to say about who you relate with and your own social standing and how others would see it. So when Jesus offers to go and eat with Zacchaeus, everyone would be shocked. Luke goes out of his way to say, everyone, all, muttered at that moment. You can imagine the gasp of the crowd when Jesus decides to go to Zacchaeus' house. And in that moment, it all becomes clear for Zacchaeus. He repents, and in that moment, Jesus proclaims salvation has come to his entire house. And even before Jesus sets foot inside, even before Jesus goes to visit with Zacchaeus and his newfound conversion, the crowd is in disdain. So this is where Jesus demonstrates his mission and his call. Jesus has something to say to Zacchaeus, and he has something through Zacchaeus to say to us. Jesus' desire is to save the lost, to seek out those who are the least. Jesus and his salvation knows boundaries far beyond the lines we would draw for ourselves. His willingness is to come for people, even people like Zacchaeus, the people who make us deeply uncomfortable. And this kind of boundary-pushing love that Jesus has for Zacchaeus, it's great when it's someone we know or deeply care about. But I ask you, what do we do when Jesus pushes the boundaries for them? That person who's done you harm. That person who's treated you unfairly. Who's misused their position or their power. Who's benefited at your expense. Each and every one of us this morning could name the person who, if you are walking on the gold-paved streets of eternity and see that person, you would stop and go, ha! did they get here? We need to be the kind of people who pray for the eyes of Jesus, who see the Zacchaeuses of the world, and that our hearts are wide enough to see that they too are beloved children of God. And though this makes us uncomfortable, it's great news for all of us, because if Jesus comes for Zacchaeus, then the great news, he's coming for us too. We haven't made our lives on the back of predatory financial gain from the least and the powerless, and yet Jesus invites Zacchaeus to dinner, so he's willing to invite you as well. In the face of someone the world would have called a chief sinner, Jesus does nothing more than offer a dinner invitation. And don't miss this. Jesus doesn't preach to him. He doesn't even need to condemn him. In the moment of inviting him to dinner, in that moment, it all became clear to Zacchaeus. Suddenly, all of the things that had mattered to him to that point came into focus. And he was in that moment willing not just to give, but to give four times of everything that he had taken from people unfairly. Friends, that day, Zacchaeus went to go see Jesus. And for all the things he got wrong, for all the people he hurt and the excuses he made, for all the justifications he made up over the years that what he was doing was okay, he decided to finally see Jesus. So he climbed the tree. He took the risk. And it turns out that's all it took, the willingness to look for Jesus. And then that day, not even his wealth or love of money, not even it could keep him from being transformed. And it's in that that we discover the grace of Jesus Christ, which is not just for Zacchaeus, but for all of us. And I think the question that lands on us is, are we too willing to look for Jesus so that we might see the giver of salvation? Because if we are, we too might have this conversion moment. Moments where all those ruts we find ourselves in suddenly open the path to new freedom. The money that had become Zacchaeus' Lord couldn't stand before the Lord of creation. And in a moment, he was suddenly willing and able to let it go. I don't know what it is for you, but I know we all have it. The stuff in our life that clamors for attention. And if we truly look for Jesus, we might find those things fading away. We might be inspired to choose a new path, to reach out to others with a kind of love and compassion, even beyond the bounds of what we've known. Forgive those, especially those who have done harm to us. And that day, Jesus chose to be with Zacchaeus. And I ask you, would you do the same? Friends, would we go out of our way to meet with Zacchaeus? Would our hearts be pure enough that when we saw him and his desire to meet Jesus, that we would share with him the kind of love that transforms an entire life? Jesus really meant it. We have many Zacchaeuses in this world who we've chosen not to love or decided that we can't love because it's difficult and hard. But we have to wrestle and grapple with the reality that people Jesus comes looking for are often the very people we put beyond the bounds of the gospel. The good news marches beyond our expectations. And even while we're murmuring and confused and upset about people Jesus chooses to love, he has chosen to love them. Quite frankly, he's not asked our permission. So my prayer for myself, my prayer for us, is that God might give us eyes to see more than just a wee little man, but as a beloved child of God. All the people who we think are in the way and have truly done real harm, these are the very people that Jesus Christ comes to find, the very people he desires to call into relationship with himself. Under that vision, we are called to be the hands and feet of Christ, to go out into the world to love with the same kind of love that we've received, so that others too might become saints, even unexpected saints. Because that's exactly who Jesus wants them to be. Zacchaeus is still a biblical superstar, not because of a catchy song, but because he shows us Jesus saves the most surprising people. And that includes every single one of us. Thanks be to God. Amen.